Hi, Caitlin.
Hey, Rebecca. You've long been an audiobook lover, and you've been trying to convert me to listening to Women Loving Women audiobooks for some time. And while I don't enjoy listening to them yet, I do love hearing people wax poetic about their favorite voice actors, the inappropriate times that they listen to these things during work. Tell me a little bit more about what we have in store for our listeners today.
I thought the best way to get you to be excited about listening to an audiobook was to have you participate in the audition process for a new audiobook. So that's what we're going to do today.
So, Rebecca, how important is the voice actor for an audiobook for you? For me, it can make or break literally everything about the experience.
I agree. The narrator is the end all be all, speaking well, highlighting the book, bringing the book to life. It's just all, every single part of it is vital to my audio experience. I say we just jump in and get on to the first audition.
And let's see if these ladies can convert me into liking audiobooks.
This is Erica Lee. I'm auditioning for Just My Type because I've always wanted to be a vampire, and this will get me one step closer to immortality.
I don't know. That reel was a little batty. Let's listen to the next audition.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm Jamie Moody, and I'd like to read for the part of Dr. Annie Golden. Here's my audition for Vamp in the Sheets. Oh, I mean, Just My Type by Lucy Bexley and Bryce Oakley.
Oh, she almost had that perfect take.
We are all just doing our best, trying our best, trying to get through.
I think instead of stopping every audition, we should just power through a couple of them in a row.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Shea, and today I'm reading the part of Arrow the Vampire. From my audition, I'll be reading chapter one of Just My Blood Type by Bryce Oakley and Lucy Bexley.
Hello, I'm Grace Parks. For my Just My Type audition today, I'll be doing a bittersweet musical cover of Closer by Kings of Leon.
Hi, I'm TJ Dallas. For my audition today, I'd like to read the sex scenes in Fang Her, Bang Her by Bryce and Lucy.
Yeah, hi. My name is Lucy Dreamer, and I saw this audition posted on the All the Things That Suck Tumblr page. I'll be reading all the parts that suck in Just Sigh and Die from Lucy Bexley and Bryce Oatmilk.
Has nobody read the source material for this audition? I feel like I'm being trolled by the Goodreads comment section right now. One more audition, Caitlin, and then let's just reassess and check in with each other after.
Hi, I'm Lucy, long-time listener, first-time caller. I am a huge Bryce Oakley fan, and this is my audition tape. Tonight, I will be reading Chapter One of Just My Type by Bryce Oakley and Lucy Bexley. Thanks for considering me. Killing people is the closest I come to feeling alive. When I seize a woman's neck and her pulse races beneath my fingers, feverish and feral, I remember what it was like to be young and in love. It makes me think of butterflies, the way their wings feel so soft, feathery almost, as they struggle in your grasp. Fall in New England is the perfect time of year. The trees are a three-alarm fire burning the sky into smoke-gray dusk. I scan my surroundings, taking inventory of the people nearest to me. It's so important to pay attention, to always be alert. A string of crimson whips by me as I run onto the dirt path that curves around the park. It's more isolated here, peaceful. Exercising doesn't do much for me, but it's a great way to meet women. I zero in on someone ahead of me. Her long blonde hair is catching the sun's dying rays so that it flashes a bit, like a lit arrow. My own dark hair feels plain in comparison, dark as a moonless night. Her braid sways in front of me, thick as a rope, and each stride causes it to bounce against her back. Exercise is self-flagellation. My fingers tingle as I reach for it. Long and loose is the best way to have your hair if you want to escape an attack. I learned that from a seminar, on popular self-defense techniques for women. It's important to keep up to date. I run faster to close the distance between us until each stride takes me off the ground like I'm clearing a river. Tonight, I want to chase. I pass the woman easily. She would have been no fun to catch. I like a woman who can challenge me. Who doesn't? She was no match for me with her Aphrodite hair and jogger's pace. I'm a mile into my run when I really open up. The trees blur together. Crimson, yellow, and orange blend into the brown of decomposition. A coliseum's length away is a worthy opponent. Just far enough that I can see the leaves scattering beneath her. Each footfall whooshes through them. Her black spandex-clad legs fade into the shadows of dusk, the impending darkness threatening to consume her before I get my chance. I increase my pace and close the distance between us. I'm a quiet runner. Partly it's my shoes in good shape, and partly it's the fact that I don't need to breathe much. She's only a leap away as we approach the final curve on the path. Once we round this, we'll come back into view of the main road, aggressively lit by streetlights. The city installed floodlights last month after a very dramatic liar told the local news station that she felt like she was being chased when she ran at night. But I never chased her. The news liar runs like a mall walker, hips sombing in a pink velour sweatsuit, and talks on the phone the whole time. Not my type. I leap and grab the woman. I am lithe and heroic, like a superhero saving a falling damsel. Only it's the opposite of that. She is ungrateful and bites me immediately. There will be no saving tonight. I place my right hand over her mouth and she thrashes against me like a fish that does not want to be caught. A fish that should have known an easy meal is not to be trusted. But you know what they say, teach a man to fish. No one ever mentions how the fish feel about it. The fish don't matter, only the man's hunger. I bring my mouth close to her ear. I'm not going to hurt you. I heard something behind us. Stay calm. None of this is true, but soon she will be too dead to know I lied to her. And there are far worse sins than lying, like gluttony or the lazy one. Her hair is so light it's nearly white. When I lean forward, it streaks against mine like a comet slicing through the night sky. She grunts against my hand, pleading some case that my hunger overrules. Her screams buzz against my palm like a fly, unintelligible, pointless, and annoying. Footsteps move in our direction, but they are too faint to be a threat. Now that I am holding her to me, her heartbeat is insistent everywhere we touch. The ocean brine of her sweat fills my other senses as I pull her into the woods that line the trail. Another scream cuts the peace of the night, but it's too shrill to be the woman I'm holding. It sounds hysterical. Can someone see us? I don't have time to look around. She's still grunting against my palm. I drag her deeper into the woods to get away from the horrible noise. But this only takes us closer to other people. The longer I hold this woman to me, the hungrier I become, until it's all that drives me. The floodlights flash on, and I know I've gotten too close to the road. I have to do something before this takes a turn toward the unpleasant. Lights ruining another private happy moment. As I lower my face to hers, my own heartbeat echoes in my ears like a melody I used to know, hauntingly slow. The cadence of it is perfect until it becomes unbearable. A scream rings in my ears as I sink my teeth into the soft flesh of the woman's neck, right over her pulse point. No point in prolonging this for either of us. This isn't a slow meal. It's a shotgun. I swallow, my senses returning like waking limbs. Her veins deflate beneath my grip like one of those foil pouch drinks that tired nannies give to screaming children. Why can I ever remember what those are called? Something sun. Appropriate, because the sun's rays bounce off their shiny packaging like laser beams. The woman is going slack beneath my grip. This is close to over, but I can already tell I'll need more before morning. The click of flashlights come a split second before their weak beams poke through the trees. On the path just beyond the woods, the mob looms in grotesque shadow with their neutered torches. I need to leave or I'm going to have to kill a lot of people tonight. It would be a terrible waste, seeing as I wouldn't get to take any of them to go for a midnight snack. I stopped drinking and let the woman collapse at my feet. Usually I'd clean her up, maybe cover her with a few leaves, but the velour army is closing in, their gums snapping along with the twigs as they lumber toward us. I'd barely eaten enough to get through the night. The woman was a waif, like eating a few grapes when I needed a full meal. I consider throwing her over my shoulder like a fireman, rescuing her from the fate of these women helping her, but I don't have the energy. You have to put on your own oxygen mask before helping others. The first flashlight beam hits my face and I flinch. Goddamn, Edison. I turn and cut a straight line back to my car through the trees. Life was better before the invention of lights. Truly Tom's worst idea. Those terrible, high-wattage sun sycophants. Poor imitations of fire. Give me a torch any day, or pure and perfect darkness. Ships navigated by stars alone for years, and very few came to any harm. Once again, the light had interrupted a perfectly delightful meal and a peaceful evening. If people are so afraid of the darkness, they should simply stay inside their homes. I drive through the empty streets of Old Town Sorrow. My tires rattle over cobblestones. I need to regroup. The problem with Sorrow is, though it's big, it's got a small town feel. Too many people talking to each other, making eye contact. A string of police cars passes me as I curve through the roads that surround the park. Their lights flash like fireworks, leaving my vision spotted. Or maybe that's my hunger rearing its head again. I drive without paying attention, listening to Love Bites on the radio. My car traces the curves of the winding road like a finger trailing over exposed skin. The familiar animal of my hunger paces inside the cage of my ribs. There had to be another good place to eat. It felt like a riddle. What place has an ample supply of blood, an ineffective security force, and a lot of people who think they're much smarter than they actually are? The Gothic architecture of Stone College looms ahead of me. The hematology lab is waiting for me on the fourth floor of Burden Hall. Now all I need is a night guard in a too tight Halloween cop costume to invite me in. I park my all-black Audi under an old willow tree on the edge of campus and cut across the quad with a smile on my face and a collegiate bounce in my step, putting on lipstick as I go to hide any rogue drops of blood. Would a hair flip be out of line? Time to give it the old college try.
Color me intrigued. Caitlin, what do you think of that recording?
Rebecca, I'm all excited to listen to the rest of this book. How soon do you think we get to do that?
Well, in the true spirit of 2020, we don't have everything we want, but while we can't listen to the full audiobook, you can read Just My Type by Lucy Bexley and Bryce Oakley. Find your copy on Amazon. It's available through Kindle Unlimited. As a person who's read it, I thoroughly recommend it to everybody. And I just want to give a major shout out to all the artists who joined us today, giving their little clips and quips. You guys are fantastic, and don't forget to check out their books. We'll include every single artist and their books in the show notes, as well, again, where you can find Just My Type. Congratulations, ladies. Thank you for letting A Tip of a Tongue be part of this book launch. We're so excited for you.